Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
It's somewhat daunting time in the Clark household as we have a similar story to this one, and we tried to catch a little bit of it on video for you this morning. So we have a little clip. Okay, so he wasn't walking on water, he was walking on the carpet, but that's pretty exciting anyway. Yeah, so just over 1 year, and he's taking his first steps. Those weren't the very first, but his first steps unaided, and just like Peter, he especially initially seemed to like take a couple of steps and then realize what was happening, and that he was not supported, and that he was on his own here, and then he would just sort of collapse or sit down. But of course, as we all did when we learned to walk, you fall down, but you get back up. And that's what babies do. That's what we all do as we learn to walk. That's what we all do when we try new things and difficult things. And that's what we see in this story with Peter. You know, here's Jesus walking on the water. And I love that Peter even seeks out this challenge. You know, he says, "Well, if it's really you, tell me to come on out to the water to you." Like he almost prods Jesus into issuing this challenge to him, this invitation to him. He really wants to be tested in this way, I think. And so he, you know, Jesus says, "Okay, yeah, come on out. Come on out and join me out here on the water." And Peter, bless his heart, climbs right out over the side of the boat and he starts walking. He does it just fine at first. Heaven only knows how, but there he goes, and he takes a few steps out onto the water, and then he notices, I think he takes his eyes off his focus on Jesus, and he notices the wind and the waves and the storm around him, and he realizes that he's standing on top of the water that's, as I said to the children, at least deep enough for a boat, and he freaks out, which is understandable, and he starts to sink. And he cries out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus extends his hand and grabs him and picks him back up. And together they get back into the boat. Just like Will taking his first few steps, just like any of us trying something different or trying to follow in Christ's footsteps, you know, Peter stumbles. He becomes overwhelmed, he becomes afraid, he loses his balance, whatever it is. But Jesus is there to take his hand and to lift him back up. Because honestly, it's not about whether or not we fall over, whether or not we notice the wind and waves and start to sink. That's bound to happen. It's bound to happen eventually. I mean, we can predict that, even if it's the first time you hear the story, you can predict that, you know, Jesus can walk on the water, but Peter's probably not going to be able to. The regular, ordinary, everyday people sitting in the boat are probably not going to be able to. And so the story is not really about, wow, is Peter going to be able to walk on the water? You know, spoiler alert, he's not going to be able to do it. The story is about what happens when he stumbles, when he slips, and Jesus says, "Oh boy, you... still working on that faith thing, aren't you? That's okay. Why do you doubt? Trust me." And thankfully, we're not all in a place where we do what Peter does, but thankfully when Peter starts to sink, he cries out to Christ to help him, to lift him up, and to bring him back to the boat. Now we know that Peter is going to do many more things, kind of stepping out in faith, and sometimes he's gonna do just fine, and sometimes he's gonna fall and stumble again. We know that famously he'll stumble when Jesus is arrested, he'll deny that he even knew him. But we also know that he will go on to kind of form and shape the early church as a movement and guide it and be, in a sense, the right-hand man that Jesus had selected him or invited him to be. So it's not about whether or not Peter falls over or sinks into the water or gets the question wrong when Jesus asks him who he is or tells him he's going to be arrested and be handed over to his persecutors. It's not about these things. It's about how Peter gets back up, how he calls out to Christ and says, "Save me," and Jesus takes him by the hand and he gets back up. And it's about that for us too. It's not a question of whether or not the wind and waves will overwhelm us from time to time. They will. Spoiler alert. It's hard. It's hard to follow Jesus. It's hard to answer that call. It's hard to trust and to walk out unsupported into the journey, into the discipleship, the life of faith to which we're called. And we will stumble. We will take notice of the wind and waves around us. We will take our eyes off Jesus and notice the difficulty, and we will begin to sink. And it's about whether or not we cry out, "Lord, save me," and we get back up. We take Jesus' hand and we get back up. It's about that for us individually. And I'm sure there are places in your life where you've stepped out, you've tried something new, or you've stepped out in faith and you've stumbled. But you're here because you got back up. It happens in the life of a church, too. Churches have times where hopefully always we're stepping out in faith and in trust and following Jesus, but we have times where we take notice of the wind and the waves around us, where we are discouraged, where we lose our balance, where we stumble. And the question is whether as a community of faith, as the people of God, we get back up. Now, that's a spiritual question. And it's hard to put spiritual questions into hard answers that we can kind of look at objectively. But if you bear with me, I do have some charts. I'm a fan of charts from time to time. So I do have some charts. Now, this is the amount of money pledged to the general budget in thousands of dollars over a period of 5 years. Now, you're going to say that that's about money and that's not a very spiritual thing. But I believe that the amount that people commit to giving to the church is a direct result it flows from how they're feeling about the church, about God, about their position in their life, and it is a spiritual response to what's happening in our lives. Right? It should be. It's not just, the pastor really twisted my arm, so I'm going to write something on the pledge card. It's, I have searched my heart, and I believe that God is calling me to give. So there's a stumble in our line. There's a dip. And we kind of, those folks who've been around for most of those 5 years or more, kind of know what that dip was. A beloved pastor transitioned into a new ministry, into another church. And it probably would have been hard for anyone to step into those shoes. And the church wobbled. That was a difficult time, right? Stumbled. But then you got back up. And if you were to kind of imagine that dip isn't there, the line kind of resumes the same slant it had before. It takes a little bit of time to reset, but it gets right back to where it was. An even more dramatic improvement is seen if we look at not the total amount pledged, but you kind of divide that by the number of people pledged, and then you're looking on the next slide, at the average pledge per household. And again, there's a stumble. There's a whoop at that same moment when a beloved pastor leaves, when a transition happens and the church wobbles. And then you get back up. You know, the water and the waves of the world around, the difficult financial situation of our reality, the things that threaten to overwhelm the church, they take their toll, and we see that from time to time. People, get discouraged, and that's reflected even in what seems like hard statistical data, that's reflected in the life of the church, but then we get back up. And I believe that part of what happened in that moment was this church crying out, "Jesus, save us. We put our eyes back on Jesus, our focus back on the ministry, and guess what happens? We take hold of Christ who takes hold of us, and we get back up. And that's the story of faithfulness. That's the story of what it means to step out in faith, to be Christ's disciples in the world. It's not about whether or not we stumble. We will. We probably will again. But it's about whether or not we get back up. So we give thanks for the faith and the courage and the determination of this congregation that gets back up. Now, there are other places where we might be challenged to step out in faith, or we might be in the middle of that wobble. So I have a couple of other graphs that aren't quite so cheery, perhaps. The next slide shows the number of people pledging, that's the blue line on the bottom there, and the average attendance for the year. And we see wobbles, but we also see generally a downward trend. Right? So we have fewer people who are filling out pledge cards. And we have, generally speaking, fewer people who are attending. That's on the whole flat line, a slight down over 5 years. And that's not as encouraging a graph. It looks even worse if we back it up 20 years and we look on the next slide at our average worship attendance, which you can't see for some reason on the side of the blue line at the top, and our average Sunday school attendance. Notice the uptick when we hired a Sunday school director. But again, overall, a pretty drastic downward slump in our average attendance and our average Sunday school attendance over a period of 20 years. It's not about whether or not we stumble. It's about when and how we get back up. When I notice these numbers, it would be easy to be discouraged by that and to say, well, we're really sinking. But I think we can also look at them and view them as a call, as an inspiration to cry out, Lord, we're sinking. Take hold of us and help us get back up. So the question in the course of this story, I believe, is not about how big are the winds and the waves or how far down have we sunk into the Sea of Galilee before we cry out. The question is, are we ready and willing to take Christ's hand and to get back up? We noticed that, as I was kind of looking over these numbers, that actually those financial markers, which might seem more disconnected from people's spirituality, really do show that getting back up, whereas attendance does not show that transition. And in some ways, it's a lot easier to give of ourselves financially. That doesn't mean we don't appreciate it. That doesn't mean it's not an incredible sign of faithfulness. It is. But to invite friends and neighbors and family members and loved ones to come to church is a really personally challenging, daunting thing. Your check will never be refused. I guarantee you that. Your check will never be refused, but your invitation might be. Your invitation might be extended to someone, and they might say, that's not my thing, or I've already got a church, or I'm not down with the whole God agenda, or whatever. Or I'm quite frankly angry that you even asked me if I would come to church with you. And so it's a much more challenging and frightening thing. There are a lot more wind and waves and distractions and tribulations and troubles when... Tribulations? I don't know what that means. It's like turbulence and tribulation put together. Anyway, there's a lot more challenge when it comes to putting ourselves out there personally and inviting someone to come see what this church is about, to come see the joy and the love that we find here, to come participate in the life of this congregation. But I would challenge us that we need to take hold of Christ's hand and allow him to pull us up, allow him to lift up this congregation and this church to better and more vibrant life than we currently have and perhaps than we've ever had. I believe that when people come here, when people participate, when people get to know our ministries, the people that are involved in our ministries, it's an exciting and an inspiring thing. It's a loving place to be, and it is a faithful place to be, where God's work is done, where we gather for worship and hopefully are fed and nourished, and then are sent out into our community throughout the week to serve others at the community lunch and through the thrift store, and where we worship and study together at Bible studies and book studies, and we engage God in our lives. And so what I want to challenge you to do is to invite a person to come to church. And I don't necessarily mean to come at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, although that's a great time to come to church, as you know, because you're here. But I mean that to invite a person to come and to experience Trinity in a way that perhaps you think they would enjoy it. So if someone might really like a book study or a Bible study, maybe you can invite a person to that. I know that there are people here who were part of our community because they were invited to a Bible study or to a special service. Robert, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I believe that you were invited to an Ash Wednesday service, I think, at first, and then a Bible study. And here he is as the person that greets folks at the door every week and hands them their bulletin and welcomes them to our community because somebody invited him and welcomed him. I think it was probably David Hunter is my recollection. But I know that there are folks who are very faithful in doing that. And it can be challenging and it can be daunting. And people can say no. And so it's a scarier thing to do. I would encourage you not to be, you know, forceful about it. If someone says no, they say no. But there are other people to invite. You can invite a person to work a community lunch with you if you volunteer there, or invite a person to help out volunteering at the thrift store or helping serve chicken pie supper. I know there are folks who just love volunteering for that as it approaches. So there are lots of ways that a person might experience Trinity and come to experience our community together. Even in this attempt to be faithful and to step out, we're putting ourselves out there, and that is a challenging and a frightening thing. And we might be overwhelmed and we might stumble. But it's not really a question of whether or not we stumble or we start to sink. It's a question of whether or not we get back up and we try again. Where have you wobbled in your life and seen the waves overwhelm you and been discouraged? Where have you cried out to God and have felt Christ take your hand and lift you up? Where are you being called now to step out again in faith and to trust that the wind and the waves will not overwhelm you, but that Christ, who is faithful, will take your hand and will lead you and bring you safely home? Amen.